Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the Flora Growth Corporation Third Quarter 2024 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in a listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the call, you may signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key, then the number zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Dany Vaiman, Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Operator, and good morning, everyone. On behalf of the Flora team, welcome to our Q3 2024 and Corporate Update Conference Call. Before we begin, I wish to inform listeners that certain statements to be made today by the management team may contain forward-looking information. Today's call will include estimates and other forward-looking information and statements concerning future revenues, results from operations, financial position, market, economic conditions, partnerships, and any other statements that may be seen as a prediction of future performance. The information may involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed or implied by such statements. Factors that could cause or contribute to such differences are described in detail in the company's most recent filings available on EDGAR at sec.gov and SEDAR at sedar.com. Any estimates or forward-looking information or statements provided are accurate only as of the date of this call, and the company undertakes no obligation to publicly update any forward-looking information or supply new information regarding the circumstances after the date of this call. On the call today, we have Clifford Starke, CEO, and myself, Dany Vaiman, CFO. Following the presentation, Clifford and I will be available for the question-and-answer period. The Q3 2024 results press release and the accompanying 10-Q have been filed on EDGAR and SEDAR. Please note that all amounts mentioned on this call are in U.S. dollars unless otherwise stated. I will now turn the call over to Clifford.
Thank you, Dany. Good morning, everyone on the line. Welcome to the Flora Growth Q3 2024 Results and Corporate Update Conference Call. Let's begin with the United States. The recent election of President-elect Donald Trump brings renewed focus to the $28 billion hemp industry catalyzed by signing into law in 2018 Historic Farm Bill. This transformative legislation decriminalized hemp at the federal level, fostering explosive growth across the United States. President-elect Trump's recent comments on cannabis regulation, indicating his favorable stance, also provide encouraging signals for those advocating for comprehensive cannabis reform. While federal legalization remains uncertain, these remarks suggest we should see significant progress in regulatory alignment under his administration. At Flora, we view this opportunity to further our presence in the U.S. market, leveraging our flagship brands like Just CBD and Vessel, which are already making strides in capturing market share. With federal rescheduling procedures set to begin in January, we remain optimistic about additional cannabis policy advancements that could bring significant benefits to consumers, businesses, and communities alike. The prospect of a rescheduling shift underscores the growing recognition of cannabis' therapeutic potential and its rightful place in a modern regulated economy. Complementing these developments, U.S. Senator Ron Wyden recently introduced the Cannabinoid Safety and Regulations Act. This legislation proposes the most comprehensive framework for hemp regulation in the U.S., addressing key areas such as product safety, labeling, and market oversight. We believe this act should serve as a blueprint for the upcoming Farm Bill, offering a pathway for clearer regulatory structures and fostering innovation investment within the hemp industry. A regulatory framework like this would work perfectly with Flora's mission to create safe, high-quality cannabinoid products that meet consumer demand and regulatory standards. Moving to Europe, we're seeing promising developments in Germany. The country's updated framework for the liberalization and cultivation of industrial hemp underscores its commitment to becoming a leader in sustainable agriculture and cannabis reform. Germany is also making strides with its controlled cannabis retail efforts. The cities of Frankfurt and Hanover have been announced as model locations for Germany's first legal controlled cannabis retail operations. These pilot programs represent a critical step towards broader legalization with the potential to serve as a template for nationwide adoption. Flora has strategically positioned itself to capitalize on the European market. Our EU GMP facility in Germany provides a competitive advantage, enabling us to distribute premium medical cannabis across the EU. We are closely monitoring these developments and remain ready to expand our presence as these regulatory framework evolves. It's an exciting time for the industry. We're optimistic about the future as we help drive forward policy and innovation that serves the needs of consumers, businesses, and society. With that, I'll pass along to Danny, who will discuss the financial results for the quarter. Danny, please go ahead.
Thank you, Clifford. Let me start by noting that in the United States, we are actively working to diversify our product portfolio by entering the fast-growing infused beverage market. This move represents a significant step forward as we tap into a segment that is expected to see substantial growth over the coming years. The introduction of our infused beverage line, including Mellow and Cola products, allows us to leverage our expertise in product innovation and marketing. These beverages cater to a rising consumer demand for alternatives to traditional alcoholic drinks. In Germany, we are laying the groundwork for a transformative phase in our European operations. We recently welcomed Dr. Manfred Ziegler, the former managing director of CC Pharma, to lead our operations in the region. Dr. Ziegler brings extensive experience and a proven track record of success, including his leadership during the acquisition of CC Pharma by Tilray. Under his guidance, we are launching a parallel import business, a key initiative designed to meet the growing demand for affordable, high-quality pharmaceuticals in the European Union. Parallel importing allows us to leverage pricing differentials within the European market while adhering to strict regulatory standards, creating a competitive advantage. Turning over to our financial results, revenues for the third quarter of 2024 were $12.5 million compared to $17.3 million for the third quarter of 2023. Revenues for the 9 months ended September 30th, 2024 were $46.2 million compared to $58.1 million for the 9 months ended September 30th, 2023. These decreases are primarily due to the company's deliberate discontinuation of several unprofitable lines, as well as increased competition. Total operating expenses were $6.5 million in Q3 24 compared to $5.5 million in Q3 23. For the 2024 and 2023 year-to-date periods, total operating expenses were $19.6 million and $57.2 million, respectively. This represents a decrease of $37.6 million, or 66%. Net cash used in operating activities was $3.7 million in the 9 months ended September 30th, 24, compared to $7.3 million for the 9 months ended September 30th, 23, a decrease of $3.6 million, or 49%. On a consolidated basis, the net loss for the period was $9.8 million compared to $47.3 million in the comparable period, an improvement of $37.5 million, or 79%. Flora finished the quarter with $4.2 million in cash and $21.3 million in current assets, including $7.9 million of saleable inventory. In terms of performance for each of our divisions, Just CBD maintained a gross profit margin of 40% on sales of $4.2 million. Its top-selling products in the quarter included the Bear, Nighttime Bear, and Peach Gummies. Approximately 41% of its revenues stemmed from direct-to-consumer sales, with the remaining 59% generated through business-to-business sales. In the quarter, Just CBD added 83 new wholesale customers to its network. Vessel maintained a gross profit margin of 55% on sales of $1.1 million. Core products represented 29% of sales, and Compass products contributed 45% to sales. The largest individual item sold was the Compass Rise, representing 17% of vessel sales. Vessel sales were 66% from direct-to-consumer and 34% on business-to-business. Vessel added 35 new wholesale customers in the quarter. Petibo earned $7 million in revenue with gross margins of 7.1%. All sales were business-to-business and included brand name pharmaceuticals. I will now hand the call back to the operator for the question and answer period.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. The first question comes from Aaron Gray from AGP. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. This is Remington Smith on for Aaron Gray. My first question is, you've announced quite a few initiatives in the past few months. What do you think will be the largest drivers to growth in both the near term and the long term?
Hey, how's everything going? The main driver on the U.S. side is really going to be dialed in on the beverage front, which the distros have picked up, and you're slowly going to see in the Total Wines and ABCs of the world. On the German side, it's going to be one, the PI business, which we expect extreme high top line with decent margins on it, as well as being able to compete and win the pilots for the retail locations. Those are the main focuses of the business, and that's where we're putting money in today, both on the CapEx, OpEx exercises.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's helpful. And then kind of sticking to that German business, you experienced a little bit of softness, I guess, in your existing German business this quarter and in the prior quarter, despite some of the reform that happened. I guess, could you speak to a little bit of that and then get the outlook to that existing business going forward?
Yeah, I mean, Germany, first off, we brought in a world-class team now. So Manfred and the individuals he's brought in under him, I don't think we could find anyone better to actually run Germany in every facet possible. And then what we've done over the last quarter or so is really working on changing the business model a little bit to gain way higher margins on that side of the business, which I think, you know, you'll see, I think you're going to see the effects in a couple of quarters from now. But we're making a lot of changes in Germany.
Okay, that's helpful. And then I guess sticking to the gross margin, on the last call, you expected gross margin to expand into kind of that mid 30% range. So is the commercial wholesale going to be a driver there too, I guess, to that expansion? Will it be kind of a house of brands? Talk to me, I guess, if the mid 30% range is still a guidance, how you expect to get there, and what will that mix be between, I guess, the two segments?
Danny, do you want to touch on that to start?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Remington, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you're doing well. As we noted, the business in the United States, Just CBD and Vessel, those ones do experience fairly significant margins. 40 to 55% in some instances. Where the challenge has been with the pharmaceutical distribution in Germany, which is offsetting and lowering that average. And as we noted, the parallel import business and the changes that we're implementing in Germany, we expect that margin to increase, and that will help bring the average, you know, to the low 30s and the high 20s. We just need a little bit more time to develop that business in Germany, so that the parallel import revenues increase and become the most dominant force in that country. So I think it's just a matter of time, and it's just a matter of that business expanding and realizing its full potential.
Okay. And then my last question, you know, you had quite a few initiatives with launching the THC, the hemp-infused business recently, and then the TrueHC acquisition too. Did a lot of these kind of weigh on EBITDA in the quarter, kind of ramping up sales, especially kind of with the corporate SG&A costs?
Yeah, I mean, we're making investments now, both in the beverage front as well as Germany throughout. So right now we're, you know, spending money. Hopefully we're going to see the benefits in quarters to come.
Okay, great. That's all for me. I'll hop back in the queue.
The next question comes from Sean Wong from Haywood Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, Danny. Hey, Cliff. How's it going? Just wanted to get some clarity on how the launch of the parallel import business has been going so far, what we can expect from it, and what a wider European rollout could look like, and also the timeline to get to that 30% margin range that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I'll answer the first part, then hand over the margin to Danny. Sean, hope everything's great. First off, Matt and his team came in. They're retooling a few things on the current business right now, which is the focus. Then what we're going to do is utilize our GMP facility to be able to bring in, you know, competitive pharmaceutical products from all over Europe, the Hungary, Romania of the world. Keep in mind, Manfred previously built, you know, a $600+ million business, and this is that category. And I think over the next couple of quarters, you'll see it kind of come together. And it's going well, but what we're trying to do is making sure the current business is stabilized and then grow on the PI business as well as go and compete for the cannabis licenses that have been given out. Then, Dan, you want to get to the margin question?
Sure. Sean, good morning, and thank you for joining us, and I hope things are well on your side. I think that's a great question, and we will provide an update on that specific topic in the first quarter in 2025, once Manfred and his new team have had a chance to settle in. I think that would be the best time to begin addressing that question.
Perfect. Thank you. And I think that's my only question for now.
The next question comes from Bill Kirk from Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Cliff, it looks like you're now on the board at Hoshi in Portugal. I think I saw that in the press release. So how does that business and that upcoming facility fit into your plans for Germany, your plans for Europe? And when do you expect product to start coming out of that facility?
Hey, Bill, I hope everything's great. So one, this was an investment made historically. This was with the Metrum team back in the day, which I think everyone remembers, Mike Haines and Trevor and those guys. In the past couple of years, a big investment came in, and they put another $10 million in that facility. It's fully built. They just got their GACP license. The grow has obviously been up and running for well over a year now. There's two things that we would like to do. One is obviously get, you know, good quality product out of Portugal into Germany, which will be happening over the next couple of quarters. The second thing is, what's interesting is we're able to utilize our current GMP facility. We'd be able to actually put an extension of it onto the Portugal facility in one of the dry rooms, which will make the entire flow process way easier and better, more efficient. But everything's coming together there. And I think the next couple of quarters is when we'll receive the first product out of there.
Okay. And as this will relate to Germany as well, could you give some more detail on the relationship with Curaleaf, like the responsibilities, maybe the commitments for both parties? And I ask because the announcements initially didn't seem like both groups were on the same page. So I want to make sure I understand what you and Curaleaf can and cannot do, and maybe how Parallel fits into that dynamic.
I have a long-standing history with the EMMAC guys. EMMAC was sold to Curaleaf a number of years ago. Prior to them merging, we had a supply agreement that was supposed to be delivered from Portugal into Germany a number of years ago. No supply arrived, and we went and rebuilt the relationship with Curaleaf, which obviously we announced, which was a little bit, I guess, confusing for everyone, unfortunately. We're expecting delivery within the next month or so of high top quality product from Northern Green via the 420 guys. Originally, what will happen is we're going to use 420 to bring in the product, and then over the next quarter, 2 quarters after that, we'll stabilize the product in our GMP facility, and we expect a long-term relationship as long as they could deliver, you know, high-quality flower we could put into the market.
Awesome. That helps a lot. If I could sneak one more in, going back to U.S. beverages, in some markets, Mellow and Cloud Cola, I think, are THC infused, and in other markets, they're, you know, more hemp infused. Is the goal of the brand ultimately to be THC infused where and when you can, or should we expect, you know, kind of a mix, or is it, you know, how, what do you envision that kind of formulation behind those brands ultimately to be?
So we're seeing twofold. We're seeing, obviously, we're very, you know, D9 driven. I think everyone is right now. And that's what's going into the totals and ABCs right now. About 30% of that business will be online driven as well. But we also got a lot of demand from, you know, big box type of stores of, hey, we're obviously not ready to bring THC infused yet. Could you do the same category but in mocktail form, which we're working on now for a couple of clients? But I think what we're trying to do is build, at least dominate the Southeast, where really that's our presence, our network, both on grassroots, in-store, activate everybody, as well as, you know, hit the what we could do legally within the local colleges, universities, and really try to create a sustainable long-term brand. I think it's that relationship with Peak has literally driven, saved us 8 years of work and experience. They've been great to work with. The emulsion facility is obviously up and running in Florida. We're focused on our own brands, but also powering a few other ones. And it's going very well. And I was surprised that the team did a really good job getting Just Rose on board relatively quickly, which is great. And now we're just working through more, you know, figuring out what are really working capital needs on what's going to happen on the growth side. But we're seeing, I think you're going to see hyper growth on that category on a quarterly basis.
Awesome. Thank you, Cliff. Thank you, Danny. I'll jump back in.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star one. The next question comes from James Udasco from Aegis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. It's James Udasco from Aegis. So we were just wondering, how has the Sunshine partnership helped with distribution across the retail consumer space in both the U.S. and Germany?
Good. So I hope everything's okay in New York. In terms of Sunshine, they've really just opened up the Florida market for us. That's who we chose. We decided to work with a little bit of a smaller distributor to get attention and very craft beer type of feel in terms of service. They did a great job getting into the retailers, which you're going to see a launch next week. Sunshine has no parallel outside of the Southeast, including Germany and Europe.
Awesome. Thank you. I'll jump back in the queue. Thank you very much.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Clifford Starke for closing remarks.
Thank you for all stakeholders for coming on the call. The management team is available for anything further, and have a great day.
This brings a close to today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.